someone walking up and popping you one in the face. And verse 10, though, is the remedy for that. If we are the victim of a talebearer, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. And so the Lord wants us to come unto him rather than having feelings of animosity about others. Verse 16, a man's gift maketh room for him. And this is one of the most important scriptures that you will learn, not only in this class, but in the Bible school itself. And that is that a man's gift makes room for him. You don't have to chart your own course or figure out what you are going to do or anything of this nature, how that you're going to display the talent that you may have and things like this. A man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men. Paul didn't walk up to the people and say, I got to go up there and preach to that character up there at Rome. But you see, a man's gift made room for him. He didn't even have to pay his own way. The Roman government paid it. So you see how the Lord works. Well, that man's gift made room for him, and so it will for us. If we have a gift, God will see to it that we use it without us asserting ourselves. While we're on this, the Apostle Paul again sets forth an example. He went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. He didn't force himself. Finally, the pastor stood up and said, Sirs, do you have anything to say to us? Paul says, I sure do, you see. But he did not assert himself, and he did not toot his own horn. Well, we don't have to do that either. A man's gift makes room for him. Verse 19, a brother offended, it's hard to be one than a strong city. And the same thing is true. People have been offended and in the wrong way, and not just giving in to their own flesh, but they've just flat been offended or hurt, and they're hard to be won in a strong city. Chapter 19, verse 1, better is the poor that walks in his integrity than he that is perverse in his lips and is a fool. So there is much said about the speech of men, and you'll find that your tongue is the hardest thing in the world to control. Verse 5, a false witness shall not be unpunished, he that speaks lies shall not escape. And so this is just the same thing, that you tell lies, you're going to pay for it, that's all. Verse 9, a false witness shall not be unpunished, he that speaks lies shall perish. In the spiritual sense, those who deny the truth, of course, they're going to perish. Delight is not seemly for a fool in verse 10, much less for a servant to have rule over princes. It is, he is not fit to reign, to rule. We're learning to rule today. Verse 28, an ungodly witness scorns judgment. The mouth of the wicked devours iniquity. Judgments are prepared for scorners and stripes for the back of fools. So an ungodly witness scorns judgment. That is, anything he gets, it's not right. You can look across the courts today of people that have been convicted of various crimes, and they were just so shamefully entreated. You find people often come up with this police brutality and all this foolishness, and they were so mean to them and things like this. Well, an ungodly witness just scorns judgment. Any judgment they give on him was too stiff for him as far as he was concerned, you see, and it's because of their ungodly condition. And then the mouth of the wicked devours iniquity. Judgments are prepared for the scorners. Stripes for the back of fools. The stripes for the back of fools refers especially to the law. At this point, you can compare verse 29 of 1 Timothy 1, 9. I believe it is, because it tells us that the law is made for the unrighteous. So the judgments of the law are prepared for scorners. Chapter 20 and verse 5. Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water. A man of understanding will draw it out. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man, who can find? Just man walks in his integrity, his children are blessed after him. So this is the way of natural man. He'll proclaim his own goodness, but a faithful man, who can find? Well, the Lord is making some faithful men today. We trust. Verse 22, say not, thou I will recompense evil, but wait on the Lord, and he shall save thee. That is, don't try to get back at those who have done you wrong. But like David did, wait on the Lord, and he shall save thee. And like David, remember how that he waited on the Lord, and finally God took the life of Nabal, and he also got rid of Saul. Verse 24, man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way? Well, if we're following the Lord, of course, we can't go in our own way, so recognize that they are the Lord and then continually follow him completely. Chapter 21, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turns it whithersoever he will. Now, God can control the attitudes of hearts today. I also thought of this in light of the literal kings, and that is, even though they think they're doing exactly what they want to do, yet God is channeling them exactly where he wants them to be. He still has the control. Verse 8, the way of man is froward and strange, but as for the pure, his work is right. It is better to dwell in a corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. And again, I think this is a verse that Solomon wrote by experience. Trying to keep all them women happy. But it means that it is better to dwell in a corner of the housetop. That is, off where, by ourselves. It corresponds with the truth that Paul says, let us be going forth without the camp, bearing his reproach. It is better to do this than dwell with a brawling religious woman in a wide house, than be in all of this conglomeration that is known as the ecumenical movement today. It's better to be over here, right over here in the corner where nobody even sees us or knows anything about us, than to be out in the middle of the house with that crazy woman. Verse 12, the righteous man wisely considers the house of the wicked, but God overthrows the wicked for their wickedness. And so notice again that this is not our responsibility to overthrow the wicked. The righteous man considers the house of the wicked. Now, he marks it well that he wants no part of it and he stays away from it. But God is the only one who has the right to overthrow that wicked house. This is why you can't go into all the religious denominations today, regardless of how wicked they may be, and try to overthrow them. It won't work. This is God's responsibility, and we cannot do it. We can rescue individuals when we have the opportunity, but you'll never turn the tide of whole systems. Verse 15, it is a joy to the just to do judgment, that is, according to the word of God, but destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. The man that wanders out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead. And so if men will not believe the truth, they are still dead in trespasses and sins, is what it boils down to. Verse 30, there is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord. That simply means that there is no wisdom that he does not know about, or any counsel that he doesn't know about. No one will ever catch the Lord unawares, so we don't need to worry about somebody sneaking up on him. Chapter 22, verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it. And so this is wise counsel unto those of us who are raising children, those who, of you who expect to have some in the future, is to train them up in the way that they should go. Raise them according to the word of God, according to the scripture, and build in them traits and characteristics which reverence and respect the things of God. And the things of the word of God. Verse 17, bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise, apply thine heart unto my knowledge. Verse 21, that I may make thee know the certainty of the words of truth, that thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that send unto thee. Now, here we find bow down your words and hear the words of the wise, first of all, in verse 17. And the reason for that is so I can make you know the words of the truth, so that you can answer the words to them that come to you. And so it's just the same thing. You must learn the scripture. You must learn the words of wisdom yourself before you can lay any words of wisdom on anyone else. And so it is very important unto us to learn the scripture, to take it into our own hearts and lives, and to prove the word of God for ourselves. Then we can be a blessing unto others and answer questions for others. Verse 28, remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. This refers wonderfully in the spiritual sense. Our landmark is in the heavenlies, the landmark of the truth. And so don't remove that landmark and settle for anything else. All right. Chapter 23, Verse 29, who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has contentions and babbling? Who has wounds without cause? Who has redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine, that go to seek mixed wine. And so this chapter could be entitled Unmixed Wine, because this is God, what God wants us to have. But some people mix up their own ideas with the things of God. And when they do that, then they have the results of verse 29. Woe, sorrow, contention, babbling, wounds without cause, red eyes, which means that they can't see real good. They have this because they tarry long at the wine. They go to seek mixed wine. And that refers to the natural wine of in this world today. But I'm especially speaking of the wine of religion. And when people tarry long at that mixed wine, then they do have woe, and they do have sorrow, and they do have contentions. This was a condition that you find in Corinth when the Apostle Paul wrote to them the first time, you see. And they did not really lay hold of the unmixed wine. They were drunk on that which they should not have been drunk on. Paul says, "Well, when you come together, well, one has a song and one has a prayer and one has this and one has something else, and everything is all in confusion." He says there is contention here, there is strife here, and that ought not to be. Well, when people do not yield to just the power of the Holy Spirit, then there are all sorts of things that go wrong. Verse 32, at the last, that is the final analysis of this, it bites like a serpent and stings like an adder. And so there is destruction in the wake of such things. Chapter 24, verse 13, my son, eat thou honey because it is good, and the honeycomb which is sweet to thy taste. This again tells us of the word of God. So shall the knowledge of wisdom be unto thy soul when you have found it. Then shall there be a reward, and thy expectation shall not be cut off. Lay not wait, O wicked man, against the dwelling of the righteous. Spoil not his resting place. Now, here again, we have some spiritual teaching. It is a warning to wicked men to leave God's saints alone, all right. But also, this has a very important application to religious people. And that is, they are first of all called wicked because they would spoil the resting place of the righteous. And the resting place of the righteous is in Christ Jesus. It refers to those who would have people working for salvation and working for acceptance and depending upon their own works in order to obtain favor with God. And that is spoiling his resting place. Verse 16, a just man falls seven times and rises up, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. So this is the very nature of the old new creation. He may fall down seven times, but he always gets right back up. And you find that way to be true, that you don't put down an overcomer. You just you may do anything you want to and knock him down seven times, but he'll always get back up. It's the nature of the new creation to do that. And so this is what we want to be, is always bounce back. And of course, it is only because of the treasure that is within us that we're able to do that. All right. Verse 30, I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. It was all grown over with thorns and nettles and covered the face thereof. The stone wall was broken down. This refers to the one that has not judged his flesh. And so, notice he had a field, but he was very slothful. He did not apply the word of God. He did not reckon with God and believe God. Consequently, it was grown over with thorns. That is, those things of the flesh had risen up and conquered. Not only that, the stone wall thereof was broken down. His separation was gone. The stone wall, speaking of that separation. And he said, then I saw it, and I considered, and I looked upon it, instruction, and here's the conclusion. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands. And this is exactly the condition that the Apostle Paul warns of over in the book of Thessalonians when he says, let us not sleep as do others, but let us be watchful. Because just a little sleep, a little slumbering in this day and time, and verse 34 comes just as sure as the world, thy poverty shall come as one that travelleth, and thy want as an armed man. So if men go to sleep, they're going to be poverty stricken when Jesus comes. Chapter 25. These are the Proverbs of Solomon, which the men of Hezekiah, king of Judah, copied out. So these, again, were Proverbs of Solomon, but they were gathered in the time of Hezekiah. one of the kings of Judah, you'll remember. Verse 21, if your enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat. If he be thirsty, give him water to drink. You shall heap coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord shall reward thee. Now, what this means is simply that you do him a service by showing grace unto him rather than getting rather provoked and angry. In other words, show him the Christian way of life. Sometimes we get a little vexed with people and a little bit short with them, and they, in short, they just flat get on our nerves. Well, if you show them the ways of grace and righteousness, you actually heap coals of fire on their head, or you give them the light, the way of light, the way of righteousness, and hopefully a flame will be kindled within them. Verse 28, he that has no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down without walls. And this means the man that has no control over himself. Things happen and he does things before he even thinks. So it's just like a city that doesn't have any defenses. Chapter 26, as snow in summer and rain in harvest, so honor is not seemly for a fool. That is, a fool cannot come to honor any more than you would expect to have snow in the summer or rain in the time of harvest. As the bird by wandering, the swallow by flying, so the curse causes shall not come. A whip for the horse, a bridle for the ass, a rod for the fool's back. And then these two verses are most interesting because they seem to be rather contradictory, but I believe we'll be able to clarify them. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou be like unto him. This means don't answer him in the same spirit or the same attitude that he comes to you. And so verse 4 refers to attitude. Don't become like him. If he comes to you in anger and if he comes in to you in an argumentative mood and things that are not would not edify at all, don't answer him in that kind of a spirit. Verse 5, answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. This is the one who comes to you with wrong doctrine. And so answer him, you see. If he has wrong doctrine, answer him and tell him that which is right. But don't answer him in the wrong attitude or the wrong spirit, as we find in verse 4. But straighten him out as far as in doctrinal points. Verse 9, as a thorn goes up into the hand of a drunkard, so is a parable in the mouth of fools. That is, it means nothing to him. You take a drunk man and stick him in the finger with a thorn, and he can't even feel it. He's deadened to it. Well, this is the way a parable is in the mouth of fools. It just means nothing to them. Verse 12, seest thou a man wise in his own conceit? There is more hope of a fool than of him. So if a man is wise in his own conceits and understandings, well, a fool has more hope than what he does, one that is just ignorant. Verse 20, where no wood is, there the fire goes out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceases. And you'll find this to be true. Where people are always talking and exploiting the failures and the mistakes and things like this unto other people and always keeping something going between people. Do you know what he said about you? See, things of this nature, and if you keep adding fuel to the fire like that, well, you've got a real barn burner going after a while, you see, and it's not good. So that's why he said that love covers these things. Well, where there is no talebearer, where there is no one to keep stirring these things up, well, then the strife ceases. All right, verse 1 of chapter 27, boast not thyself of tomorrow. You don't know what a day may bring forth. So here again, we find that we just can't live and make all kinds of predictions what we're going to do and not going to do. We don't even know whether the day will come, but it simply means to believe God hour by hour, actually. Chapter 28, in verse 17, a man that does violence to the blood of any person shall flee to the pit. Let no man stay him. Whoso walks uprightly shall be saved. He that is perverse in all his ways shall fall at once. Now this verse does not refer unto salvation, but it's rather referring to deliverance that we have in this walk of faith. Whoso walketh uprightly shall be saved, or he shall be delivered, because we are saved not by walking, but by believing. We're saved by faith. If we walk uprightly, we shall be delivered from a multitude of things in this world. Well, there are so many things that the Lord keeps us from and keeps us from enduring and having to go through if we believe Him and walk uprightly. But he that is perverse in his ways shall fall at once. So you find today even saved people that are walking perversely, they're not having a very good time of it at all. Chapter 29. He that being oft reproved hardens his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. You can compare this with Hebrews 6, verses 4 to 6, because it refers to Christ's rejectors. And if they continue to harden their neck after they are reproved, they will suddenly be cut off, and that will be it. Verse 10, the bloodthirsty hate the upright, but the just seek his soul. And this simply means that we pray for sinners today. All right, verse 1 of chapter 30, the words of Agur, that means gatherer, the son of Jacob, even the prophecy, the man spoke unto Ithiel, even unto Ithiel and Ukal. Ithiel means God is with me. And these are some more proverbs that were searched out by someone. Verse 17, the eye that mocks at his father and despises to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, the young eagle shall eat it. Now, spiritually speaking is the way I want to view this, because the eye that mocks at his father is the one that rejects the truth in the way of salvation. He does not yield unto mother grace, being saved by grace through faith. And so the ravens, or the flesh, of the valley shall pick it out. He shall destroy the spiritual understanding of those that reject the truth, and the young eagle shall eat it. There is just they're completely blinded by the devil, and so when men refuse the truth today, then indeed they enter into darkness, and there's no hope for them. All right, verse 19, the way of an eagle. Now there are four things he says that are wonderful to him here. Verse 19, first is the way of an eagle. This tells us of Christ as the ruler. Christ is the king, the eagle in the air. The next is the way of a serpent upon a rock. This speaks of the devil who would come against the people of God who are upon the rock, Christ Jesus. And he surely does this. This is something that is just almost hard to understand, that the devil could get up here on this rock. But nevertheless, the devil has access unto us, and we are upon the rock, but he can only go as far as God allows him. The next thing that was wonderful to him is the way of a ship in the midst of the sea. This especially speaks of Israel in the tribulation, in the midst of all of the nations that would try to devour them and to completely consume them. And then the next thing that was so wonderful to him was the way of a man with a maid. And I believe this one especially speaks of Christ and his bride. And these were four things that were so wonderful to him that he just could not understand. But the Lord has given us understanding of them. Verse 24. There be four things which are little upon the earth, but they're exceeding mighty, and are exceeding wise, rather. And these four things can also be compared to the saints. The ants are a people not strong. They prepare their meat in the summer. That is, we lay hold of the grace of God right now. The coney, thought to be a rabbit or something like that, they are a feeble folk, yet they make their houses in the rocks. Speaks of the way that the saints, being so feeble and so defenseless, they make their house in Christ. That is, they find protection in the rock, Christ Jesus. Verse 27, the locusts have no king, yet they go forth all of them by bands. This tells us of the saints who are tied together by that invisible force, which is known as love, which unites them together in a common bond. Verse 28, the spider is the next one that takes hold with her hands and is in king's palaces. This tells us of those full overcoming saints. They are like spiders, who take hold with their hands, and they lay hold of the word of God. They lay hold of what God holds out unto them, the scripture and so on. And you find them in king's palaces. That is, that they wind up in the royal chamber. And this is where that we expect to be.